Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozgoz.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Death Note Relight 1, Visions of a God, aka Death Note Rewrite Genshi Suru Kami.
For a moment, I thought you said that Relight, and I was like, is it a pun?
Yes, it is. The English name is Relight, and the Japanese name is Rewrite.
You know, that's funny, because while watching it, I thought it's like almost pure schlock.
Well, it released in 2007, so it has a history of being schlock. The game Death Note Killer Within came out recently, so we're hitting on that SEO goodness. That's why we're covering this. It was produced by Madhouse, the studio behind High School of the Dead, One Punch Man, and Legend of the Crystals Final Fantasy, which we covered on this podcast. Death Note Relight 1 Visions of a God currently has a MyAnimeList score of 7.71. The game Death Note Killer Within was released on PC and PlayStation, and was day one on PlayStation Plus, also as a bunch of DLC. It's a 10-player social deduction game, so in the genre of Among Us. It's the first of four Death Note games which has been released outside of Japan.
I had no idea there were any Death Note games.
There were two on the DS, one I forget what it came out on, and this one.
Were any of them a first-person shooter?
No, the first two were kind of like the board game Clue, or Cluedo, depending on your country.
Huh.
Well, that's from reading summaries on Wikipedia, so your mileage may vary. My summary for this movie is, when a crazy person gets a magic book, they go crazy. Altura, what do you have?
After a high schooler gets his hand on a book that can kill anyone by just knowing their name and face, he begins taking justice upon his hands. But can he defeat the world's greatest detectives before they catch on to his twisted definition of being a god?
Okay, Angus.
So the first one was, we follow a magical girl called Light as she spends her day studying for exams, writing notes, and eating potatoes. And the second one is, after finding a magical notebook, Light Yagami goes through drastic transformation into someone who loves potatoes.
Who really likes potatoes? Okay, this has a runtime of 2 hours and 10 minutes, so I have a lot of notes. We'll go into why it has such a lot runtime towards the end. So we open on the underworld with three Shinigami telling another one that he's wasting his time wanting to see Ryuk, another Shinigami, because he had been to the human world. He's not dissuaded, so he finds Ryuk and gives him an apple in exchange for the story of his time on Earth.
Okay, you can't call that an apple.
They call it an apple.
Okay, good point, but it's not an apple. Let's just establish that right now. That was horrible.
I thought it was a pumpkin.
No, they say apple, the subtitle says apple, and later we see another one, and it is also called an apple.
No, I know they called it an apple, but when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that looks like a shriveled pumpkin.
It does. It does not look like a shriveled apple.
Also, after this amazing opening, we find out that the rest of the show takes place on Earth, and we're not going to see all that cool stuff that we saw so far.
Well, maybe in the sequel. Will we cover it on this podcast? Who knows? Maybe they will release another Death Note game or some more DLC. I was going to say some DLC, but there's already a bunch of DLC.
We'll release another episode when the other 10 DLC come out, which, see you guys in a month.
So in the sequel, a human goes up to the Shinigami world with a regular notebook, and they're like, holy shit, dude, we can write stuff down and nothing happens.
So Ryuk takes the apple and agrees to tell the story of a human who wanted to become a god. We then get narration from our protagonist, Light, kind of skipping forward. This is like a trailer for the movie. It was weird. Light narrates that he's sick of the world being as it is and that the corrupt need to die, which he's going to do using the Death Note. We then see him do it. Having filled out a couple of pages full of names, he announces that only those he judges to be good will continue to live, which will make him a god. And then the titles come up. We come back on Light in school, watching a Death Note notebook falling to the ground. So we can assume this takes place before what we just saw. And why that bit felt like a trailer.
Maybe he was just... It was just him doing his homework. Maybe he was role-playing what was going to happen later.
I mean, what was probably happening is just Ryuk telling the other guy to get him excited like a trailer.
That's a good point.
But then he tells him, like, he starts at the beginning. It's a terrible way to tell a story.
After class, Light goes to pick up the notebook and reads the instructions. You have to write a person's full name while thinking of their face, so that, you know, people with similar names don't get affected. And really, we only see the two instructions. Write a person's full name and think of their face. We don't see all of the instructions before he puts the book down, figuring it's a prank. He starts to walk away, but looks back, and we cut to later as he walks home, having picked it back up. We cut quickly to Ryuk in the underworld, falling into a hole, and then he appears in the human world flying. Then cut to Light's house, where his mum insists on seeing his exam results the second he gets in. He's the top of his class, of course. Very, 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 very smart.
It's all the potatoes.
And she's like, yeah, okay, you can go do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want. I expect him to say, I want a car. And she's like, yeah, okay.
Well, when he was younger, they gave him an ultimatum. Either you get good grades or you have to go into the business of potatoes.
He locks himself in his room and stares at the open Death Note, giggling to himself. And Ryuk talks to him just before a lightning strike, which causes Light to fall over in fear. As anyone saying, hey you, just before a lightning strike would. The Death Note was apparently his, and he's impressed by the number of names already written in the 5 days he's had it. Apparently this isn't the first Death Note to appear in the human world, but nobody else wrote quite as many names.
I'm pretty sure I saw Peter Parker in there. I tried to read the names, and that's the one I caught.
I had to look a couple of times at the names, and I couldn't recognize any. Light expects Ryuk to take his soul, and he's been waiting for it, but the Shinigami explains the book is Light's now. It doesn't matter to Ryuk what happens to it.
He's such an idiot, like, yeah, come take my soul. Like, he didn't, like, if he knew if that would happen, like, why did he do it? Like, okay, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna play with this notebook, bye, mom.
I mean, I think the whole point is that it kind of shows that he genuinely intends to do good, even if it would cost his own life. But also, I was surprised he didn't try to write the Shinigami's name in the notebook. So what's your name?
How do you spell that?
It's like, did he say how many names he wrote? Or do they just, like, say that he wrote a lot?
Just a lot, I believe.
I believe they say it in the anime. I think it was something like 100 and something, but I can't recall very well because I haven't watched it in a long time.
It's like, if you want to do good, if you want to get rid of criminals and, like, you expect someone to come and claim your soul after you start using the notebook, like, I wouldn't sleep. I would just try to get as many as possible. But he's an idiot. Like, he left himself time to study for exams.
So you'd be going for the high score. However, Light did hit the high score by himself.
But, like, we don't know what was the high score before, so...
Of course, is officially the, you gotta pump those numbers up meme.
Again, he definitely left himself time to study for exams, so he wasn't writing names all this time. Just when he had time away from exams.
Well, there's only so many criminal names you can find out. Anyway, the only drawback that Ryuk says is that if Light gives the book to someone else, then Light would lose all memory of the Death Note. Oh, and when he dies, he will not go to heaven or hell.
So he'll be still alive.
Like trying to negotiate with Ryuk. So you mean to tell me I can still use the net? No, stop it.
What do you mean, an African or European swallow?
I can't go to heaven or hell. Which religion's heaven and which religion's hell? We cut to an Interpol meeting where they're discussing the suspicious deaths of over 50 criminals in the past week. Ah, there we go, 50. Someone suggests bringing in L, and suddenly all argument ceases. Despite not knowing who he is, what he looks like, or even where he is, L has been used by Interpol to solve some of the most impossible to solve cases.
Yeah, they tried to bring in W first, but they couldn't get hold of him. They only got L.
Someone argues that they don't know how to get in touch with L, so in walks someone immediately to say that L is already working on the case. He sets up a laptop, and L addresses the gathered conference. But we don't hear that. We cut to Lighthouse. He's using the internet to look at a fan site about himself, calling him Kira. He tells Ryuk that there are thousands of these sites, but the media hasn't picked up on them yet. Suddenly, on the TV next to him, a live broadcast begins. I'm not sure the TV was on. Coming from Interpol, it's a man claiming to be Lind L. Taylor, and he calls out Kira, saying that what he's done is evil. Light decides to show exactly how not evil he is by writing Lin's name in the death note.
Again, he's supposed to be smart.
Kira, you're evil. Oh yeah, well, Q! Scribble, scribble. After 10 seconds of Lind just staring straight at the camera, he has a massive heart attack, killing him. The real L takes over the broadcast and calls Kira out, telling Kira to kill him now. When Kira does nothing, L explains that the broadcast is only in the Kanto region of Japan, so they've already narrowed down Kira's location from anywhere to Kanto.
We got it on the first try!
Woohoo! Hey, you don't know that. Maybe they had already broadcast in other regions.
He says that we were going to do this in other regions, so, I mean, yeah.
You have Linda just staring at the camera for 10 seconds. Okay, he didn't die. Do it in another place now. The criminal's like, I'd rather die at this point.
We cut to Light and Ryuk walking at night. Ryuk says that someone is following them, and when he gets home, Light looks out the window and sees the person who was tailing them. We cut to a group of police detectives meeting L a month later. They introduce themselves, and L tells them that is murdering by knowing faces and names, so they need code names. But he doesn't say code names, but aliases.
Superhero names.
L goes over events so far. Criminals dying in prison at 1 hour intervals. 12 FBI agents dying 1 day ago. Speaking of which, we cut to a train station. It doesn't say yesterday, but it was. Where Light is talking to an agent on the phone. He's threatening to kill the guy's family if he doesn't write all of the names of FBI agents on sheets of paper he's provided. Somehow he knows that this FBI agent is literally about to receive these. The guy gets off the train and has a heart attack because the paper was from the Death Note.
Wait, did he get a heart attack because the paper was from the Death Note, or did he get a heart attack because his name was written down somewhere?
I imagine he wrote his own name down as one of the things.
Or maybe it was just a happy coincidence. What do we know?
Too much bacon in his diet.
Too much potatoes.
Too many potatoes.
We cut to Light's sister being told to deliver some fresh clothes to their father. She whines, and Light offers to go instead.
Also, is that the scene where she's watching, where they show the show that she's watching on TV, and like it has the cheesiest freaking dub where the guy is like a super gruff voice and the woman is
No, that's the next one.
That's so funny to me. It was like already abridged.
We get a flashback of the FBI agent who just had a heart attack, telling his wife to stop working and get pregnant already. Literally, but that's basically what he says. Like, you don't have to invest more. You're supposed to get pregnant and have three kids. Misogyny.
Yep, yep. Very uncomfortable.
The flashback is a memory from the wife, Shoko Maki. That's the only name I wrote down for her, so... who has just been told about his passing, and she knows that Kira was behind it. She enters the police station just before Light does, because his father, the detective leading the Kira investigation. And yes, this is the first time it has been brought up in this movie.
And also an amazing coincidence.
She wants to speak to someone because she has information about Kira, so Light tells her that he can deliver the message personally. Of course, he doesn't know when, because his father's phone is off, and others keep quitting because they don't want to be murdered. One of the officers at the reception desk says, you shouldn't be telling random people. They leave together and continue talking, so Light gets her full name and how exactly to write it. He's surprised to discover that she's the FBI agent's widow and that she's worked out that Kira needs a face and a name. Also, that her husband probably knew who Kira was in the moments before he died.
I'm sorry, but I watched the dub and the original thing. Do they also, like, take time to explain how their names are written? Because that's super fucking awkward. Like, I've never...
According to the subtitles, yes.
Beyond that one scene, I've never heard someone in anime or, I don't know, on any, like, interviews, stuff like that, shows, film. I've never heard someone introduce themselves like that beyond that one scene.
I mean, we know that he needed her to say exactly how it was written so he could write exactly in the Death Note, but it was kind of like him saying, "Hi, I'm Light Yagami, he, him pronouns. How about you?"
Also, the writer wrote in his script note how they should introduce themselves for the script to work. And they had no choice, because the power of the script note is to make people do exactly what you wrote. Get it?
No. We cut to the task force and find out they're not at the headquarters, they're in a hotel. And then we go back to Light and Shoko, where he writes her name on a scrap of paper from the Death Note. But nothing happens. It was an alias, so the Death Note won't work. However, Ryuk had seemingly offered to give Light Shinigami eyes to let him see people's real names above their heads in exchange for half his remaining lifespan. He decides to tell Shoko that he's a member of the task force working with L. So Shoko tells him that she too worked with L back in America, and there's something about Light that reminds her of L.
Oh, because they're both names start with L.
Yeah, that was my thinking. Light asks her to join the task
force. She's not very bright, is she?
Light asks her to join the task force and work with them, and she excitedly agrees, showing him a driver's license as proof. He writes down her name and checks his watch. She asks why he's looking at his watch so much, and he admits that he's Kira. She's shocked, but not for long, as the curse kicks in and she walks away to carry out its instructions. We cut to L getting a phone call saying that Shoko has some information, and when shown an image of her, L recognizes her from that other case. But she's gone missing. L realizes that Kira probably got to her, so he wants them to refocus on the targets that her fiancé was surveilling, which of course means Light. And some other people. I didn't write anyone else's name. I mean, obviously, they're going to surveil Light.
Wasn't it the dad's family?
Oh yeah, it's the Yagami house and the guy in charge of the police or something, I don't know.
Mm. I wonder if they also surveyed, like, the grandparents' house. And Elle's just sitting in front of a screen watching grandma and grandpa do stuff and wondering if they have a death note.
He also wants wiretaps and cameras in the house. And then some time passes and Light arrives home, finding the house empty to his surprise. We don't find out why he's surprised. His mum wasn't there begging for exam results, I suppose. But he also finds that his door is locked or unlocked. It does get explained in a moment. He opens his bedroom door and a small piece of paper falls from the door jamb. And he proceeds to ignore Ryuk as the Shinigami taught him. Leaving the house, all under the supervision of L and his dad via monitor, who see him put the piece of paper back in place, he then tells Ryuk that he usually leaves the door handle depressed slightly, as well as leaving the piece of paper to see if anyone had entered the room.
And this is where I was like, does he have a fucking OCD? Because that's the kind of thing I would do. Like, I would leave my mouse in a specific spot and, like, check if it's still in the same spot where I come back when I come back home to check if someone touched my computer. Stuff like that.
I mean, when I was a teenager, I do that sort of thing, like a piece of paper to see if someone had opened the door. I thought, the dad's getting suspicious of that. Maybe my parents should have been suspicious of me. Light then teases Ryuk about him not being allowed to have any apples. And I'm not sure we'd seen him eat one, not since the start of the movie.
Did we even see him eat the first one, like put it in his mouth?
Yeah, no, I think that happened off screen. We were looking at the other Shinigami while he's eating it.
It's like we're watching the censored version of Death Note or something.
Light tells Ryuk to locate all of the cameras so that they can find a blind spot for the Shinigami to be able to eat apples. We then cut to Light and his mum eating dinner while his sister watches a TV show. Got something to say about it, Gus?
I already said it. The dubbing is hilarious. The guy has super, super deep, gruff voice, and the girl has a ridiculously high voice. Hey there, baby. No? Okay.
Keep going. I want to see how this pans out.
I'm bad at improvising. I don't have a script in my head of what happens. Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Okay. So L notices that they're watching TV and orders a message to be displayed on the TV. And Light's sister sees it and reads it out. It's about investigators being sent to Japan. But Light isn't stupid enough to fall for that again, and basically says as much. Like, even though he knows that he's on camera. Light goes to his room and Ryuk tells him about 64 cameras in that one room. That's a lot of cameras. So Light begins revising for his exams in a really overdramatic scene. If you've seen the anime, it's the I'll pick up a chip and eat it scene.
That's the famous meme. One of the games that they made based on Death Note should have been about potato chips. I wonder if they used Death Note to promote potato chips, like Death Note potato chips.
Shinigami Eyes flavor.
Yes, they're Shinigami Eye and apple shaped.
Light explains through voiceover that he wrote names on the Death Note for deaths to happen in the future, but to prove that he's not Kira, he's watching a small TV inside the bag and writing names of criminals, while L can see that he's totally not watching TV. L doesn't buy it. I mean, it's a good act. He even throws the pack of Chris TV included in the bin. We cut to another day. Okay, since this is stitched together from the TV show, time is very uncertain in this thing. But Ellie is informed that something is happening on the news, and when they turn on the TV, they announce that they are Kira's hostages. Kira apparently sent them tapes 4 days ago, predicting some upcoming deaths which all came true. This was in an effort to get them to play a tape that he made, explaining that he's not evil. He literally just killed a news anchor to prove this. Okay, to be fair, if they were a BBC news anchor, then there's a higher than 0% chance they were inappropriate with children, so...
Yeah.
Maybe he's also killing woke journalists.
Or the unwoke ones. You never know nowadays.
He tells the people of the world to cooperate with him, and things will be fine. And then when a member of the task force tries to break in to stop the broadcast, he murders them. While Elle is trying to deduce how this happened, when all of the team are operating under aliases, Light's dad drives a truck through the TV station doors and gets to the studio to cut the feed. I mean, it's been over 40 minutes by this point. Has Kira's message seriously not finished yet?
He talks a lot.
He's been all day preparing.
Monologue.
Light, however, it seems, has been at home watching all of this go down. And he reasons that whoever killed the detective must have Shinigami eyes. Later, L has also realized that there's probably another kid. L wants Light to join the task force, figuring that you need Akira to catch Akira. And elsewhere, Misa is being spoken to by a Shinigami named Rem, and it seems that they're using telepathy because a couple times they appear to be talking and they're not talking. Misa, it seems, wants to meet Kira, giving in his vision, and yes, indeed, she does have Shinigami eyes. Elsewhere again, Light has arrived at a restaurant to meet his father. However, it's L who set up the meeting and calls to direct Light to his position. Following the directions, Light finds himself in a secret movie theater and is shown a film with L that is allegedly from Kira, which aired to get the attention of the second Kira. So, second Kira sent in the tapes to the news station, because that wasn't explained in this version of the... Anyway, in their reply, second Kira said that they would never use the eyes against the real Kira. L watches Light through the whole thing, literally centimeters from his face, but appears to buy the cool and detached image that Light is trying to give off.
He was looking right into one of his pores.
After we see Misa modeling at a photo shoot, she's relaxing at home. She asks Rem how come she has a Death Note when a Shinigami is only supposed to have one book. It appears that Ryuk snuck a spare out of somewhere, and Rem has two because she discovered how to kill another Shinigami. Not that she actually did kill it, but that's how it's phrased.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, her friend died, so she took the note, not because she found out how to kill one.
Yeah, the Shinigami was jealous, spelled with a G, you know, like GIF.
Like gelatin.
Who used his Death Note to protect a human he fancied. But that wasn't allowed in their world, so he got Thanos snapped. And that's how Rem got the second book. Oh, and Misa was the woman who Jealous fancied.
Very uncomfortable. World's first simp.
Time passes, and Misa turns up a Light's door. He takes her to his room, and what happened to all the cameras and wiretaps and stuff? I don't know who this movie is for, since it's a clip show to a series that had literally just finished by the time it came out. So it's not for people who just saw the show. And it's not for people who didn't watch it and wonder about all these plot holes. Anyway, Light takes Misa to his room and she explains that she spotted him while she was sat in a cafe, because people with Death Notes don't have a visible life like everyone else when viewed through Shinigami eyes. She asks to be his girlfriend, and then she can look at L and get his name. He finds the whole thing suspicious, but she explains that her parents were killed in a robbery, and just as it looked like the culprit was going to get away with it, Kira killed him. So she wanted to thank him. And then he hugs her. He won't be her boyfriend, but he'll use her like she wants him to.
So uncomfortable, especially in this political climate.
Time passes, and Light is walking in the park with someone when he spots L and stops to talk with him. It turns out later that Light is now in university. I did not get that at first.
Yeah, I thought he was in primary school.
Kindergarten there.
He was going to take his entrance exams, and now he is in university. So that's one heck of a time skip. Timeline in this is a mess. Light asks if this isn't dangerous with L being out in public, but L says it's fine, so long as Light isn't Kira. Also, Light is Kira, and if he dies, then the task force is to assume that Light is Kira. They start to walk together, and Misa runs up, having been working nearby. L introduces himself under a name that isn't what Misa sees, but she's pulled away by her manager. Light claims he has a lecture to attend, and he and L wander off in different directions. Light grabs his phone, wanting to get L's name from Misa. He dials, but L's phone goes off, because they've arrested Misa on suspicion of her being second Kira.
It happened really quick.
It did. We cut to Misa tied to a bed and blindfolded, not in the fun way, and L tells Light's dad that they're going to also bring in Light for being Kira.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is protocol for that? Like, she wears tattered rags and a steel blindfold or something, then she's tied to a standing thing. Like, she's forced to stand, basically.
Well, first she's laid down, isn't she? I know later she's definitely stood, but the blindfold is so that she can't see people's faces and kill them. However, she has been killing people because she's in people's faces.
Oh, so it's a lead blindfold because they thought she's like Superman. Superman can't see through lead, right?
I was wondering. I was like, wait, how did they know she has the Shinigami eyes? No, it's a good point because she needs to see their face. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, they'd already worked out that that Kira needs to see faces or no faces, but they just didn't understand how it all worked. At Light's room, Rem rocks up and says that Misa gave up her death note, so he needs to save Misa or Rem's going to kill him. We cut to Light being arrested, and then a week goes by without any murders. He says something that's clearly a code for Ryuk, who leaves the cell, and then Light suddenly starts acting like he doesn't know that he is Kira, and begs to be let out of the cell. Misa, similarly, has no idea why she's being kept bound for over a week. And then someone in the office says that 2 weeks' worth of criminals had just died. Not sure what that exactly meant.
They suddenly just...
Yeah, but he says 2 weeks' worth of criminals, and it's like, what?
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks' worth of criminals. It's like, we get 3 new criminals a day. We have those numbers. We produce 3 criminals a day.
Criminals is our main export. Time passes, and L is having tea with Light and Misa. L tells them that he's depressed, as he was wrong about Light being Kira. So Light punches him, though the handcuffs they're attached to pull him along too. And then, the genius that he is, L kicks Light, smartly forgetting that he intelligently handcuffed them together.
Yeah, they have an out-of-nowhere anime fight.
And then Light does a kamehameha.
It is extra ridiculous because they both seemingly forgot they were handcuffed to each other. They fight but get interrupted by a stupid phone call and call Matsuda, the caller, useless. The only reason I bring this up is because it comes up later.
Oh, set up, pay off.
Cut to Light working out that the latest Kira victims were all businessmen, and one company is profiting off of it, Yotsuba. We cut to a Yotsuba board meeting, where Rem has apparently given the death note. At the task force, they're informed that while L is the best detective in the world, the second best detective wants to know who L really is. But L says it's fine, since the second and third best detectives in the world are also actually just him.
Yeah. I went on my alt account and I thought I would send a message to my main account. Just to stir the pot and confuse you. Here's a strawberry.
And he gives the strawberries to someone to keep it a secret, and the dude just puts it in his pocket. I'm sure that added like a minute onto my watch because I had to pause. Dude takes the strawberries like, ooh, and puts it in his pocket for later.
Oh my god, L touched that strawberry with his filthy hands.
This is going on eBay.
Now I'm going to add it to my shrine for L. To my L shrine.
Meanwhile, Matsuda, angry that they think he's useless, breaks into the Yotsuba building. And L, however, is explaining that they're going to investigate Yotsuba properly and carefully. And Matsuda goes Super Saiyan to hear what they're talking about through a boardroom door, and makes out that they want Kira to kill someone. And then the doors are opened and he falls inside.
Very, very useful, that guy.
L is informed of this and goes to get Misa, asking her to help with the investigation. It seems that even without knowledge of the Death Note, she still loves light, so she's going to do it. L wants her to spy on Yotsuba whilst posing as a spokesperson. Matsuda had claimed that he was representing Misa, so when she turns up, it lends credence to his story. They go from the boardroom to drinking and eating in a hotel room, I think, and then Matsuda does a handstand on a rail and falls off. Oh, but it's a trick, as L wants Yotsuba to think Matsuda is dead. The party breaks up and L calls Matsuda an idiot, and honestly, that was one of the possible things I was going to write in my synopsis. If not for the fact I hadn't used that name until like 5 minutes ago, I would have just written Matsuda's an idiot and that's my synopsis.
It would have been accurate. I don't know why that character is there, other than to like add some filler.
We cut to Rem and the new Kira, who is complaining about having to kill criminals as well as targets. But he's going to marry Misa, and he'll kill her for the life insurance, so it's fine.
Aww. So
me no sweet. Study, me no care. Me go marry a millionaire.
Time passes, and Misa is in the bathroom complaining to herself about having to do this Yotsuba thing. Rem floats in and touches a piece of the Death Note to Misa's hand, which allows her to see the Shinigami. However, it doesn't restore her memories. Rem just wants to warn Misa about Yotsuba. Rem then reintroduces herself and the concept of the Death Note and sends her on her way. Returning to the interview, she finds out who New Kira is, but worse than that, he's also a sex pest. While driving her somewhere, New Kira offers to take her out to dinner, and Misa says sure, because if he tries anything, she can kill him because she's second Kira. New Kira pulls over and asks her to kill someone, so she pretends to write the name, but Rem writes it in her book. I thought that's why the other Shinigami got Thanos snapped.
I think they said something like, if you extend someone else's lifespan by using the note.
Yeah, because Misa definitely wouldn't have been killed.
I don't know.
New Kira says that he is Kira and she should marry him, so Misa tricks him into admitting on a recording, which she plays for L and the task force. Time passes, and new Kira is told to watch the news, where Matsuda is announcing who Kira really is. It turns out that the other board members don't know that new Kira is Kira, so he can't say that he suspects Matsuda was using an alias. Since he knows that they're going to announce it at the end of the program, Nuke jumps in his car and drives to Misa's talent agency to obtain Matsuda's real name. Real in quotes. He pulls out the file and writes down the name, then leaves, sitting in his car and watching the program again. Not sure Porsches are fitted with TVs, but L and Light are confused, because they have a camera in the car, why New Kira is angry that Matsuda isn't dead after timing it. After all, he only wrote down the name and seemed calmer after he'd done that. New Kira then tells Rem that he wants to take the deal for Shinigami Eyes. And then he races off, and a motorcycle cop pulls him over, so Nukira uses his new power to see the cop's name and then races off after writing it down. L realizes that that means Nukira has second Kira's power, whatever that was, and commands everyone to move in and take him down immediately. I didn't include in my notes that it takes 20 minutes for him to reach the station and they don't take him down immediately, but okay. Instead, they wait for him to arrive at the TV station where Matsuda has been replaced by a dummy. I mean, he was a dummy. And the cops are all wearing motorcycle helmets. They let him, they just wait for him to pull a gun and take a shot at them. Light's dad jumps in the way and gets injured. And Nukira runs off. And the other detectives just hang around with Light's dad instead of giving chase. Nukira actually manages to get to his car and speeds off, followed closely by police who should have beat him to the car, but anyway. He gets on the highway, but there's a blockade already set up and a helicopter blocking the opposite way. The helicopter has L, Light, and L's butler, or something, in it, and they apprehend Nukira. He admits about the death note, and Light's dad gets it from the car. Rem startles him because they weren't there a moment ago, so the book is handed to L, and now he can see Rem. And then he realizes that that means there are two notebooks. But while he's coming to this realization, Light grabs the death note from him, which gives him back his memories, and he screams. Totally not suspicious. He starts apparently cross-checking the names in the book with the database and thinking about how he's won when Nukira has a heart attack and dies. We cut over to Misa digging up our death note. I wrote her death note, but I was a bit confused by whose death note is which death note.
That doesn't matter. Death note, death note, death note.
It's in the forest and she regains her own memories. Inside it is a letter from Light asking her to kill L, then take some pages from the book to touch Light with, before reburying the book. And if she does that, he'll love her. Oh,
it's a trap!
Unfortunately, she doesn't remember L's name, even though it's one of the last ones she would have seen before being blindfolded for a week. Ryuk arrives and greets her. He explains the plan that I'm not sure if I followed it. Light relinquished ownership of the Death Note, so his memories were erased. Rem was told to follow the new owner of their Death Note, while Light buried Ryuk's Death Note. And Ryuk wrote some different rules in Rem's Death Note to suggest that the owner had to write names every 13 days or they would die. So after Nukira was captured, Light would regain his memories and be able to tell Misa where the other Death Note was hidden. I think the bit that's confusing me is whose Death Note is whose, and does any Death Note return memories taken by Shinigami?
I don't know, I'm completely lost. Can you go over that again?
For me, I didn't understand either, because, why did it get partial memories when they touch pages, for instance? I know that, Kira ends up having Rem's Death Note, but does that return his memories? I'm not sure.
Well, Misa didn't get any memories back. She just could see Rem again. And then Rem explained things.
True, and she did get her memories. I think she gets her memories back when she touches Light's Death Note, right?
Yes. Yes, she does.
So, I guess any Death Note you touch returns your memories.
Anyway, we are closing in on the end of these notes. Misa asks Ryuk to do the Shinigami Eyes deal with her so that she can find out L's real name. At the task force headquarters, Misa turns up with Ryuk, and Rem notices that her lifespan has halved again. Misa and Light embrace, and she touches him with the paper so that he can see Ryuk again. Then L goes to see his butler and has a flashback to London when he was a child, I think. This probably has a full episode in the anime, but given 45 seconds in this thing. We then see Misa doing a montage of her second Kira thing while singing. And that's the whole scene. It doesn't explain anything. It doesn't progress the plot. Just shows us that that second Kira is still killing people. So time passes and Light's dad arrives in the office to be told that there were 16 possible Kira deaths. except in the subtitle it's 14. The dub, 16 people, and the subtitles, 14 people. And it's like, why is that different? The American version, Kira had to be more bloodthirsty.
It just wasn't impactful enough.
They wanted that R rating.
It seems that Misa hasn't been able to see L in the intervening time, so Light has had her killing people, knowing that Rem is in the room, hearing about how Misa will be punished when she's caught. So the only way to save Misa is for Rem to write L's name in their notebook, which means they will get Thanos snapped. Time passes, and Light goes up to the roof where he finds L. L says that he's been hearing a bell all day, but he doesn't know where it's coming from. Seems it's coming from inside your head when you thought about going to London. The conversation goes nowhere, just them both saying that they both lie. Not sure why it's included. In the control room, L announces that the Death Note is going to be used to execute a criminal. What's more, the person writing in it is scheduled for execution in 13 days, so if they don't die, they'll be pardoned. Which means that the rules are going to be shown to be false. So Rem kills L and his butler and gets Thanos snapped. Light freaks out so that he can frighten the other members of the task force. And then we cut to L's funeral, and the task force is pretending that L is still alive to the world at large. Light, you know, hams it up, really overacts, chews the scenery. And when he's left alone at the grave, he laughs like an absolute maniac. And then he looks like he's going to salt burn the grave.
What?
If you know anything about the movie Saltburn, you know that some guy humps a grave.
Oh.
And now you know too.
Great, so happy I know that. It's the new way to say that, that I say so often. Oh, I'm just going to go salt burn that grave for a while.
We see a montage of people dying, and Light announces to himself that he's the god of the new world. And then we cut back to Ryuk in the future, looking at Light's name in his Death Note. It seems a bit worn, so it's clearly time has passed since then. The Shinigami who wanted to hear the tale has left, probably going to the human world, and then we get the credits.
Well, he was so lost and confused about the child part where he's kind of like in the past, and he's like, whatever, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I was going to say that he's pissed about, like, all the inconsistencies and, like... What are the rules anyway? That story sucks. I'm going home.
You're clearly lying to me because of all these plot holes. And how do you know about the bitch you went there for? So, has this made you want to check out the game?
No. But the game might be interesting.
I don't think anything could have made me want to check out the game, because it's a social deduction. Not only am I terrible at those, I have no one to play it with. So like,
yeah, I don't like playing against other players, so I had no interest in the game at all. Anyway,
like, it doesn't speak bad about the anime or the movie in this case. It's just that genre is not for me.
I'd probably enjoy it with like, if I could play with friends. I enjoyed Among Us, and like, if you played Among Us with randoms, it's like people don't take it super seriously, like they're trolling and messing around. So if the same kind of people play that one, then I would enjoy it probably, and I would be curious how they adapt the anime into the game.
Well, I was actually reading about the... Well, they posted a news post on the Steam community just the other day saying that they're going to start banning players who keep dropping out for no reason. And it turns out that when one player leaves the match, that finishes the match. Doesn't matter if the player was Kira, L, or one of the investigators or followers. It just...
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, closes down the entire thing. And players are not happy that that's what happens. Also, the servers are super unreliable, so someone complained that they dropped 11 times in one day, and under these new rules, that means they're going to get a ban.
Well, that's weird if they, it sounds like it's more of a issue with how the game works rather than with the players, and like the developers might seem like they might want you to take this seriously, but I feel like social deduction type games work best when they're not taken too seriously. And again, I know that a lot of people like Death Note, the anime, manga, whatever. I enjoy it too, but I couldn't take it super seriously because, again, I think it's schlock. I think there's too many coincidences, too many stupid contrivances.
Yeah, but L is very smart.
Okay. Well, that excuses everything, I guess.
So is it a Yeta, a Nanny, or a Baka?
I think for me it's a Nanny. Throwing towards Yeta, because I like the anime, but we're reading the movie, and it's like inconsistencies, and the time skips randomly. They don't explain anything. It's like, no, if you're going to watch this, just watch the anime.
I think I've heard something about that movie at some point that it doesn't do the anime justice, that skips important stuff. But to be honest with you, when I tried to watch the anime, I dropped it after a few episodes. I got bored. And here, at least, I had stuff to laugh about, because it was more nonsensical than it was before. I don't know. I would have to try the anime again to compare. But for me, I'm gonna say Nanny. Also, I'm very unsure.
I give it a Yeta. I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. I actually did figure that I'd enjoy it. So, yeah. I've watched basically every Death Note abridged so far, so I knew a lot of the details, and yet I seem to have known so few details, because none of these Death Note abridges have ever been finished. So I knew that they played tennis at one point, and I'm so glad that isn't in this movie, because what does that add to the movie?
Yeah, I remember the tennis scene, and I was like, that's one of the things that I remember, and I was looking forward to it being in there. And I was so disappointed, not because I super liked that scene, it's just that I remembered it, and I wanted to see the thing that I remembered.
I am curious how Love Note, a Death Note parody, is going to treat what happens at the end of this movie, because... Love Note is basically Light doesn't realize that names he writes down is killing people. He's just keeping a diary.
That's hilarious.
Yes, great twist. And Ryuk has no intention of correcting him. maybe you should write about that person in your diary.
I thought, because of the title, he's just writing down the names of his favorite idols.
So, does it deserve its My Animalist score of 7.71?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, yeah, the anime is rated at 8.62. So, obviously, it can be higher than the anime, because, you know, it's kind of worse than the anime. I just got curious because I was like, I mean, I kind of got to check it out, though. So, yeah, I think it's a good score.
Yeah, I'd hesitate to put it higher, as it's full of plot holes due to the fact it's missing hours of footage, because it's basically a clip show. But still, I did enjoy it.
I mean, the anime is about 14 hours long, as far as I'm aware. So condensing that into 4 hours or two movies is... You're getting rid of 10 hours of content that at one point something had to be important.
Tennis.
Exactly. That's so important.
And probably eating crisps a lot more.
Speaking of eating crisps, there is one scene in this where Light is holding a Death Note, his Death Note, and talking and monologuing. And he puts it down and takes it up and puts it down and brings it back up. It's like one framing on him, Like, it feels like they looped it just to have him deliver a longer monologue. Like, he puts it down and brings it up, and puts it down and brings it back up. And just keeps talking.
I didn't notice that. I usually spot that sort of thing right away.
I'll try to find it to give you a time code, because, yeah, it was jarring.
Right, well, that brings us to the end of this. Thank you for joining me, Artur and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.